Welcome back, another from the Down and Back Cornhole Podcast. This week, another great guest on. We've got Jimmy Humans, fresh off the Myrtle Beach Open on New Year's Eve weekend there, and also the ACL team's draft. We get to talk with him a bit about that. He goes into pretty good detail about just how they made their picks and just what all they went through. So that's coming up. But first, a couple things here. If you're in Canada or even the international, we got the international ACL international virtual blind draw. Todd, remember? Just a little shorter. Still, great events. I know I'm in it this year. I get to play. But we know what I'm like with virtual. So, Thomas Pernick. I'll apologize now. So, yeah. So that starts up. So you'll be able to check out all the videos on there. Some great people. A lot of non-pros from the North American side here, especially from the Canadian ones, which is, for me, great to see. So getting a little more people involved in some of the international virtual stuff, which is, like I said, great to see. That and the Central Conference Tournament, ACL Central Conference Tournament, ACL Canada Central Conference Tournament coming up next weekend here. January 13th and 14th, Niagara Falls Convention Center, Niagara Falls, Ontario. Same place to have the Open. And I will say, into the bigger space in the venue now, they've opened it up, add some more spots. They're gone. Yeah, so they opened them up. ACL Canada opened up some spots there the other day. I believe it was Tuesday. And they were gone within about 10 minutes or so. So, if you got into that there or got repositioned to where you wanted to be, good job on you. If not, sorry, we just have to. These tournaments here now are getting sold out quicker and quicker. But if you're not playing, you still want to go out and watch, I'm hearing there's a tequila expo going on next door, from what I hear, at the Open. So, you can go if you want to go and watch some cornhole, go and try out some tequila, then come back. For the way some of us throw, you may need that to watch us. But yeah, so that will be a great weekend. Then finishing off with the Southern Ontario Cornhole Series final on Sunday, January 15th. Same venue, so that will be another fun one to do. Also, if you were in Newfoundland, you've probably heard on K-Rock on the radio some radio commercials for Cornhole Newfoundland. They are having their conference event coming up. You can sign up for that there. CornholeNL at Yahoo. I believe it's .com. I think it is. Or CA. Just go to the Cornhole Newfoundland Facebook page or website, and you can get all the details on that to play in their conference. But I know they're looking to get a big turnout for that. So go and check them out if you're in Newfoundland, or if you're close to Newfoundland, you want to go to that East Conference event. Maritime Conference? I forget now. But anyway, so there's that. I've got the virtual. I got the conference stuff happening. A lot of leagues popping up here are really getting going, and it's really fun to see. And I'm going to say that probably one of the biggest ACL leagues, well, now ACL leagues in Ontario, East End Cornhole out of Oshawa, Robert and Keaton, I've been able to get down to them for a couple times, and they do a fantastic job down there. Airmail Challenge takes a little long time, so I'm going to say. If you're in there, wait, you're in for the long haul. But yeah, great. Like, they're getting almost 80, 90 people out a week, which is fantastic for them. But they are now ACL at East End Cornhole in Oshawa. So there's that. Only other thing is we got to give a shout out to the sponsors. They're going to be rolling down the screen there soon. Local Bags, check them out. Localbagcompany.com. Remember, they do ship to Canada. Check for them for check their Facebook page or anything else for any discount codes on their bags. No, they just did a big run of the Cougar bags, but I'm really liking the right now for me. I'm really liking the Warriors, the Outlaws, and I'll even throw the local X there, the Hustler X, the odd time. So yeah, check them out. some great bags, sponsoring a great player who we'll be talking about coming up here soon, ACL Pro, Connor Weiss. Talk a little about him when we talk with Jimmy Humans, steal of the draft. Where they picked him up, absolute steal of the draft. I think he's going to show some big things. So there's that. And then, as always, JC Cornhole, jccornhole.com. Go over to talk to Jamie. I know he's still pumping out boards up there. I was just up there the other day to see him, or even up there again. Tell you, I'm up there all the time. But him. And then SierraHome.com. If you're in the Edmonton, Alberta area, Darren will go and do your home inspection. And remember, portion of that will go to a cancer hospice in the Edmonton, Alberta, Children's Cancer Hospice in the Edmonton, Alberta area. So you cannot go wrong. Get your house inspected and help out a family in need. So without further ado, I want to talk to him for a long time. And I've heard so many great things about him from some other people that talk with him. So here is my talk with ACL Pro, Jimmy Humans. As promised, we've got ACL Pro Jimmy Humans on the show here. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, these last few weeks from here has always been like, I'm going to say bucket list stuff, because I had an eye on you coming on. And then after, you know, having the ACL draft here this past weekend and seeing your team, as we kind of talked off air, you kind of got the down and back team. So it's, I think there's like seven people that have been on the show before. So it's a team that I'm going to be going for. But more on that later on. Just wanted to get into your start of the season this year. What you've thought of it, and then you come off the weekend here in Myrtle Beach. So what's been your start of the season like in your eyes?
Yeah, so I got Kyle Malone as my partner, my pro partner this year, and he's coming out. He's throwing lights out. He's firing on all cylinders. I've had a slow start in comparison to what my standards would be. For me, it's getting bags broken in the way I want them, the way I used to the playing them. Once I have that settled in, I'll be ready before the first national, but for sure. And we should do some damage.
Well, picking up Kyle as a partner this year, it's not a bad pickup, I would say.
Oh yeah, definitely not. No, 3-time world champ for doubles is great to have on the other end.
Well, and he's another one of those guys that, and we kind of talked a bit off air about Connor, and we'll get into that later on, but one of those guys that, you know, you really don't hear, you hear a lot about him from his kind of finishes, but you don't hear a lot about him away from the game or just kind of there. It's just, he's there to do business.
Yeah, he's a quiet dude. So, like, we get along well. I have an adaptive personality, I feel like. So, like, he's not one to show emotion. So, like, people might sleep on him. He might sneak up on you on a tournament because he doesn't do anything fancy. He's a slide airmail guy. He blocks any occasionally, but like, it's not like, he's not going to hit a crazy roll shot or try to push seven bags in the hole. He's just going to take his 2 points and move on.
Well, I think that's kind of watching you play. You've seen you go for the odd airmail when the crowd kind of helps you go on with, but I think that kind of quiet game is kind of, I don't know if we're going back to it, because there was a lot of big, a lot of people wanting to make the big noise shots all the time. But I'm thinking people are starting to go back to just, you know, let's get those 2 points, because now with the 10 round games, you kind of have to take your points when you can get them.
Yeah. So the game is kind of heading towards the more fast bag, just slide everything in the hole. Even with carpet, like all the carpet throwers are just trying to put everything in the hole. So it's rare to see block style players still play the game.
But I think, like, as I said, you know, can you see maybe the block coming back with the round limited games that, you know, you may have to try and make someone make those other shots to maybe have to get a big round?
Yeah. With a round limited, you definitely need to block. Because it could be 2-0, and you could be round 10, and you need to score the last 2 points. You're going to have to try to manufacture points and not hope for a miss.
Yeah, and more in the realm limited games, because I want to ask you an opinion on a possible rule change that people were talking about that we had a long talk up at the compound about. So, but it's one for later on. So, you have your weekend this weekend in Myrtle Beach, and then comes the draft, and you know, with you, with your captains, with you and Storm and Jacob there, kind of did you guys have a game plan going into that draft of who you kind of had on your radar, or just like what type of player were you looking for to begin with?
Yeah, so we were super prepared. Storm did a mock draft. I did a mock draft. And then we knew we were picking up Kyle. I mean, I think the whole league knew. So we had Kyle review our draft and write down what order or what round he thinks each player should go in. So we had the first pick, which means it was a snake draft. We get the one pick, and then we get back-to-back 32-33. So if we wanted a player, they wouldn't be available for the next 32 picks. So it'd be like, I think it was 64. So we'd have to pick him up right away, you know what I mean? And hope, or just we completely miss on him and hope that he is available when that comes around, which we didn't want to do. So we tried to take the players we knew what we're going to get. A lot of them are really good personality-wise. Like, they fit well. Like, no, everybody wants to win. Everybody has a drive to win on the team, and nobody, I feel like, will say, oh, my partner's terrible or stuff like that, negative comments. It's all positive, and all everybody has a drive to win that's on the team.
So, yeah, so kind of then as they were talking on the broadcast, that it got down to some of the ones where people didn't really know the names. So I think almost all of your players, I think, are well-known names except for maybe Connor. But, you know, were you starting to think of, you know, will this guy play good with this guy? Or just because I kind of know a bit about him, did you have to go off the board at all for those picks?
So basically we got Kyle, right? And then we had coming up, Zach Schneeber, or I'm with Bertrand, I butcher his name every time. I just call him Shibby. he was one of the ones we were looking at. And then we got Michael Lucas as well, because he was, every time we play him, he always just like destroys us. He throws lights out every time. So that was a no-brainer pick there. And then coming around, we needed a partner for Jacob, because Storm could play with Shibby. I could play with Kyle. Then we need a Michael Lucas and Jacob partner. So then we went with Brent Smith. I personally never knew. I don't know him. I never met him. Kyle was high on him. He's throwing a 9.7 with carpet. So that's pretty good.
Not too bad, yeah.
And then so we picked him up to play with Jacob. And then we took Caleb Avery as well, who's also a sticky bag thrower. We kind of went with the same theme, if you will, like all slow bags. Yep. It's not because we were biased to that. It makes it easier to change partners, because we started with three carpet captains, right? So now you could interchange partners. So say Caleb Avery doesn't show up, we could just throw in Michael Lucas to play with somebody else. You know what I mean? Kind of went that route.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, and then you get to, you know, you had a couple other bigger names there. But for me, that your final pick was probably, I'm going to say, the steal of the draft for you guys, because not many people know about Connor down in the States. But up here, he just, like you kind of said, that he kind of comes to work and he just puts in his game. You may have to try and get team socks for him how he goes. But just, he's just a guy that just comes to work and just, you know, he can. And he plays with a carpet bag at times as well. And so it's, you know, yeah, so he's a guy that just, he's going to make some noise.
I met him in Rock Hill at Worlds the first time. And he was warming up. He was there really early. And I got there and I always show up late. And I was practicing with him. And we were talking. He was a really cool dude. He's down to earth. He seems like he has the drive to win. And then my plan originally was to try to get him near the end, because I knew nobody knew him. Like, so if people just slept on him, it'd be a perfect pickup for a late round pick. And it just so happened it worked out in our favor. And we ended up getting two carpet players. We got Tornado and him. I don't know what Connor throws now, but I knew back then he was throwing carpet, which I assume he can still throw slow bags.
Yeah, I think he's been throwing the local regulators, I believe. So the regulators and the Hustler X. I think that's it. I haven't really had a chance to see him in any tournaments in the last little bit here, but I think that's what he's throwing now. So he's kind of sticking with the carpet, and he's from what I've seen him, he can be like a really versatile player too. Like he can play with a fast bag as well. So I think that's just a bonus for you guys.
For sure.
And then you get the hometown guy, like you said, you got the Tornado, so you'll have all of your social media covered for all of your all of your game.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to do that to him. If he wants to, he's obviously has the full capabilities of doing that. We also got Joe Regan and Burgess. That was I felt like a steal too, because we picked them 160 and 161, which I feel they're ranked higher than that and the pro division, in my opinion.
So is it fair to say that you guys are happy with your team? Because we've been seeing some trades kind of made and some people are getting released and then some people are getting picked up. I'm thinking you guys are fairly, comfortable with the way your team is set up.
Oh, for sure. Right away, once we drafted our team, one of our team managers was adding players to the chat. And once we had our full team, I said, don't worry, no one's getting traded. No one's getting dropped. We're happy with this team. We're going to rock it.
So you guys have got you gave out no trade clauses to every guy for the season then.
So far, yeah. We might trade Storm. I don't know. Let's figure that one out.
You could, or if Jacob stops working out or something, and he starts losing that all that muscle, then you may have to toss him to the side then too.
Yeah, he's got to hit the gym a little bit more to be on the team.
Oh, exactly, yeah. So we get into this year here now, and I've heard a lot of talk about people wanting rule changes. Is there any kind of stuff you've had kind of going on in your head about, a possible rule change that you may think or think that could be implemented?
No. I think 12 seconds is a little quick to throw. Like, that's not in a lot of time. But I do like that they combated that by adding more timeouts per game. So, like, doubles now, you get 4 timeouts, and singles, you get 3. And you have 12 seconds to throw. So, I've seen it implemented in Myrtle Beach. I believe it was Chris Kingsbury, Alan Rawls were taking a long time to throw. So, they called the shot clock, and Josh Keck came over and started clocking them. I think the only rule I would say is to have show the shot clock. Because... Okay. I think it was Kingsbury threw, and then Josh Keck came over and said that was you used a timeout, and Kingsbury was like, "What are you talking about?" Because he went over the 12 seconds. So I think knowing when you have to throw will be huge. Like either at least on the broadcast court, what I mean? Because that's when the most important matches are, because that's when you get near the end. So whether it's on the desk or like behind the board, wherever, I think that'd be a good idea.
You're thinking back now because people have said about the shot clock out there, but you're thinking you've got to be thinking about what you're trying to do with your shot and then count time as well. So unless it's if it's not your partner giving you some sort of signal, but I think that shot clock would be good. Other one that I've heard is to have maybe a second set of bags set up there that in case the boards have changed from where you may have been on them before or just. Because we all know that the different parts of the building, what are your thoughts on the second set of bags that you can possibly take a timeout and change bags?
I'm not a fan of that. I mean, it would add more strategy to it, but you could always go up to a board and do 2 down and backs. I mean, there's rarely, I don't know any player except for like maybe 2 that would not allow that. So you could throw, what I do when I warm up is I'll take 2 of each bag and I'll throw both sets. 2 and 2, and then I'll see how it's applying, and then I'll make my decision based off that, and then I'll do another down and back. So there's ways around it.
So I'm guessing you wouldn't be a fan of the other thing I'd heard of being able to have a couple different, as long as the bags are all the same, to have a couple different styles of bag in your 4 bags that you're throwing.
So like 1 sticky bag, 1 fast bag, and then are you talking that way?
And then any combination of 4 bags.
Yeah, no, I think that would add to strategy. I would be fine with that, but changing mid-game I do not like.
Yeah, and then the other one is that the other rule everyone's talking about, and I think you guys are probably, the pros are probably tired of talking about it, is that step rule, right? Being able to not, people are not wanting to step over. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so as a player that steps, I think that having the rule the way it is now is perfect. So in, the rule now is you have when you step, you have to release the bag before any part of your body besides your arm can cross the line, which is great. Now, there's a lot of people that have that step over and don't, or they abuse it. They don't get over in time, or like they get in the opponent's lane. I'm fine with, so there's a rule that's in play. Once their bag stops, you could throw. If you throw and they're not behind the line, their bag is forfeited. Now, it's not implemented a lot because nobody wants to be like that guy, but I think mm-hmm. they should, and it would reinforce the rule more.
Well, because I think if you watch all of the people that do step and like yourself, you guys are always back behind the line anyway, right? There's no one that really takes like the three or four steps down the lane and then, you know, it takes their time getting back. It's, you know, you're all basically there anyway. So it's, to me, it's not really a big deal. As long as you're releasing that bag, it's fine.
Exactly. I stumble too. So like I have terrible balance. So when I go to throw sometimes, like I'll stumble over the line, like by 2 inches, but after I already threw the bag, it's just me not falling over.
And it's those other ones that you'll also see that they'll go and they'll step sideways.
Yeah.
And actually stepping in front of the board or even crossing that into the other person's lane.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, I'd seen that. There was one in at the Worlds last year that was doing, I think it was in like a juniors division, I think, that the person was like stepping over and kind of going over in front of the other person. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of not allowed, but.
Okay. Yeah, no, so
but, you know, yeah.
The rules now, if his bag was stopped and the guy who threw the bag was in front of the other person, they could throw and essentially hit them and there'll be a dead bag and they would get to rethrow their bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other the other one I heard someone post or comment on was kind of a more wacky one of if you throw from behind the board, you get 4 points if it's an airmail.
Yeah, not a fan. Eric Davis would score 4 points every round.
Well, exactly, yeah. And then the last one that is kind of it was more probably for the doubles is that timeouts. Only the team that calls a timeout can go down and look at the board or see what the bag is. So it's just that the other two players aren't getting that extra timeout for being down there and being able to communicate.
So that's interesting. I would not mind that because it with as many timeouts as you have now, just the only thing is more timeouts would be taken. So it would make games longer. So I don't know if as like from a viewer standpoint you would want that. But I wouldn't mind it because there's a lot of times where I want to take a timeout, but I'm like, well, if I take a timeout, they might see a better shot rather than them just rushing into a shot and missing it.
Mm-hmm. And I know that I've seen up here just because I'm going to say probably just because it's people are still newer to the game when calling a timeout and that other team walks down with you, the team that's not throwing may take extra long looking at that shot as well too. Yes. And I've seen where the guy's ready to throw the bag and the other player, his opposing player, is still down looking at the board, right? Yeah, I think that would be the only one I think drawback for or the draw to have that where the only one team goes down.
Yeah, I mean that also is a good way to ice the other player because you technically have 60 second timeout, so you could take the full 60 seconds in someone else's timeout, which would be a way to ice them.
Yeah, and then there is another player up here that's going to remain nameless up here in Canada. That he's already contemplating if he thinks his bag is still moving, he may call a timeout after that fourth bag if he thinks it's still moving towards the hole. So we'll see how that one's going to go.
So if the bag is still moving, he calls a timeout?
Yeah, if he thinks it's still moving, because for him, everything is always in motion.
Okay.
Apparently. So it's.
That's a weird way
to I'm waiting that. For him to do it. I'm waiting for him to do it, so it's yeah.
Okay, I mean you have your timeouts; you could use them whenever, as long as it's your turn.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, because and he says that also saves it from the people that grab the bags quick, that they can't, okay. And that'll stop them from doing that. So,
Yeah, I don't know. I always look at it. I mean, I'm fine losing the game, but I would never want to get caught or to cheat. So I always stare at the bag, wait for it to move. And then if both parties like agree it's not moving, then pull it. No sense even being in that conversation.
Well, exactly. I think he just wants to do it just because he thinks he can do it, which is, we'll see. We got our first conference coming up. We'll see if he has the guts to do it before then.
Nice. When is your conference?
We have it coming up the 13th and 14th of January here. Nice. So that's and it's one that if anyone's watching, I'm going to say sorry because we're doing this here interview early, and they had, I think they opened up like 10 or 12 spots in each division. They sold out in about 10 minutes. So
wow, that's good.
That's our one thing for up here this year is because we had the slow, like going into COVID, I was even looking back at some old tournaments and would have like maybe like 20 players at a tournament. Now we're getting 20, 30 teams and tournaments actually selling out. Nice. Right, which is our big thing here. So, and there's a lot of people wanting to go down to the States to play in open. So I'm thinking those ones that are kind of around the border, like in, I think there's one come up in Canton and that there that I think are going to have a lot of Canadians at. So we're hoping to have a big contingent.
Yeah, good luck.
Well, as well, Todd Kazicki, we're hearing we're going to have some opens. If you want to let us know about them, you know, there's no problem in that either.
I'm down to lead the country.
Well, now that we're more a little open because, you know, going last year's ACL Open that we had up here in Canada, there was still some restrictions. So I think now that things are kind of wide open, that I'm hoping we'll get some even more of the pros to come up.
Yeah, for sure. I'm heading out to Germany for that Open. That should be a fun one.
Exactly. Yeah, that's your big Memorial Day weekend down there. So you have lots of people that have the weekend off already to go over. Which I think is good because there was the one last year that was in Denmark, I believe, that kind of went over well. And there was a lot of the Americans helped out those European players with different styles because I think it was some of the new players up here, they found out about the game throwing deck around, throwing virtual cornhole. And okay. It's such a different game throwing, well, as you would know, throwing it with someone, you know, you're throwing not on a clean board.
Right. Yeah, that's the game I play.
Yeah. Well, it's for me, I like sometimes I like having that dirty board just because I'm not good enough to try and beat someone on a clean board. But yeah.
I got you.
So what's looking ahead for you for this year?
As far as events?
Yeah, I guess for the near future here where people might be able to see you playing.
Yeah, so I'm going to Cleveland the same weekend as your tournament, as your conference. I'll be in Cleveland, Ohio for a regional, hanging out with Jeff Reynolds, make some more bags. And then this weekend I'll be in New Jersey for the regional, and I think I'm going to Connecticut for that one as well on Sunday. And then California, end of January. That's going to be a good one. It's Bag Mania. It's a big regional. I think it's like 5K to first. They always add money to it. Pays out really well. And then I'll be hitting like 99% of the opens from here on out. I'll be missing New Mexico because it's the same weekend, but you could always find me at an open for sure.
And will you be doing some more of the live feeds with Wally this year? Because I heard you a couple times last year getting to talk with him.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've been pretty booked up as far as, like, Anthony Aon and Trey Rotter on the live feeds. So, like, I don't want to take their job, so to speak. But, yeah, I try to get on as much as I can. Usually when I'm on there is when I lost. So, hopefully I won't be on there much.
Well, let's say if you come up to the open up here and I get a chance to do some of the live feeds, I'll have you sit in with me and call some of the games.
That sounds good.
So, and as we draw the end here, we always got to give a shout out to sponsors. But your sponsors that you have, because I know you got the Reynolds bags, but what all sponsors do you have this year?
Yeah, I got a good amount. I got Reynolds bags, Power Hands PH, RGX, Tyler Welsh Foundation, Wicked Cornhole, Keystone, ACL Keystone, that's Joe Harsh and all them guys, JMD Welding, and Angst Electrical.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for coming on doing this here. You know, I know you had a long day and to get on here, but thanks for doing this here, and we'll do this here again. How about after you win one of the shootouts to get to the final? How about you come back on after that. For sure. So again, thanks for doing this here, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
And again, I want to thank Jimmy for coming on, doing that talk. Which, like I said off before, it was great to see how serious they took that draft, the ACL draft. And you know, I've heard some people making some, like I said, making some comments about, you know, they could have this better, could have did that better. That's year two that they've done this draft, and I'm not sure. I was talking to some other people. If you watch any of the other sports drafts, you only actually really get to watch usually the first couple rounds that are on the regular TV, and then that rest of that long, drawn-out process of those last rounds, you kind of get to see on a specialty channel, or you have to wait for the results the next day. So you don't actually get to sit and, you know, drag out those last – I want to say drag out, but drag out those last few rounds. So, you know what? Work in progress. If you can say with everything else, if you think you can do it better, here you go. But yeah, so – that another thing I forgot to mention off the top. I got no idea how I forgot to mention it off the top. Whole Show Monroe, you made the comment. You won the set of local warriors. So we'll be getting those out to you as soon as we can. And yeah, so don't forget, like, share, and especially subscribe to the show here on YouTube, because you will get the chance to get on the next set of bags, which will be set of local outlaws. You're going to want to set a local outlaw. So that'll be on the next one once we hit 450. And really, we're like a third of the way there already. So all you got to do is get some friends. All you have to hit, it doesn't cost a thing. Other people will do fundraisers, whatever, for bags. You got to cost. This year, it doesn't cost you a thing. All you have to do is go where, on that side. There's the thumb right there. And then right there is like a red subscribe button. And there's even a bell. If you hit that bell, then you get notified whenever there is any kind of content from this channel on YouTube. You will get to find that out. So, there was that. Until next week, if you're watching the ACL Virtual, take it easy on me. Remember, just an ambassador, not a player. That's it.